Jack Andolini's dead voice hammered in his ears. 1,000 worlds, Eddie, 10,000, and that train rolls through every one. If you can get it started. And if you do get it started, your troubles are only beginning, because this device is a real bastard to shut down. Jack's voice had become mechanical, chanting. A real bastard to shut down, Eddie boy, you better believe it, this bastard is shutting down. Shutdown will be complete in 1 hour and 6 minutes. In his dream, Eddie threw his hands up to shield his eyes. 20. And woke, sitting bolt upright beside the dead campfire. He was looking at the world from between his own spread fingers. And still that voice rolled on and on, the voice of some heartless SWAT squad commander bellowing through a bullhorn. There is no danger. Repeat, there is no danger. 5 subnuclear cells are dormant. 2 subnuclear cells are now in shutdown phase. 1 subnuclear cell is operating at 2% capacity. These cells are of no value. Repeat, these cells are of no value. Report location to North Central Positronics Limited. Call 1-900-44. The code word for this device is Shardik. Reward is offered. Repeat, reward is offered. The voice fell silent. Eddie saw Roland standing at the edge of the clearing, holding Susanna in the crook of one arm. They were staring toward the sound of the voice. And as the recorded announcement began again, Eddie was finally able to shake off the chill remnants of his nightmare. He got up and joined Roland and Susanna, wondering how many centuries it had been since that announcement, programmed to broadcast only in the event of a total system breakdown, had been recorded. This device is shutting down. Shutdown will be complete in 1 hour and 5 minutes. There is no danger. Repeat, Eddie touched Susanna's arm, and she looked around. How long has this been going on?
About 15 minutes. You were dead to the...
She broke off.
Eddie, you look terrible. Are you sick?
No, I just had a bad dream. Roland was studying him in a way that made Eddie feel uncomfortable. Sometimes there's truth in dreams, Eddie. What was yours?
He thought for a moment, then shook his head.
I don't remember. You know I doubt that. Eddie shrugged and favored Roland with a thin smile. Doubt away, then. Be my guest. And how are you this morning, Roland? The same, Roland said. His faded blue eyes still conned Eddie's face.
Stop it,
Susanna said. Her voice was brisk, but Eddie caught an undertone of nervousness.
Both of you. I got better things to do than watch you two dance around and kick each other's shins like a couple of little kids playing 2 for flinching, especially this morning with that dead bear trying to yell down the whole world.
The gunslinger nodded, but kept his eyes on Eddie. All right. But are you sure there's nothing you want to tell me, Eddie? He thought about it then, really thought about telling. What he had seen in the fire, what he had seen in his dream. He decided against it. Perhaps it was only the memory of the rose and the fire and the roses which had blanketed that dream field in such fabulous profusion. He knew he could not tell these things as his eyes had seen them and his heart had felt them. He could only cheapen them. And, at least for the time being, he wanted to ponder these things alone. But remember, he told himself again. Except the voice in his mind didn't sound much like his own. It seemed deeper, older, the voice of a stranger. Remember the rose and the shape of the key.
I will, he murmured.